जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिब्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिशिमाधि सिवाई ग्रेसैसि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिब्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिशिमाधि सिवाई ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। यू कैन ब्रिंग द अदर माइक्रोफोन, योर स्विच इज बेटर फॉर द स्पीकिंग। ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू शिशि गुरु अंशि गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, First of all, I want to tell the devotees who are watching online that it's not supposed to be same devotee doing classes continuously. That is it's a whole different group of devotees, but it happens that this week is like that. So my apologies. Same to Kyle. All right. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation. We start in a new chapter, chapter 21, entitled The Dynasty of Bharat. I'm going to read Srila Prabhupada's overview of the chapter. This 21st chapter describes the dynasty born from Maharaj Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushmanta, and it also describes the glories of Rantidev, Ajamidha, and others. The son of Bharadwaj was Manu, and Manu's sons were Brihakshatra, Jaya, Mahavidya, Nara, and Garga. Of these five, Nara had a son named Sankriti, who had two sons named Guru and Rantideva. As an exalted devotee, Rantideva saw every living entity in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he completely engaged his mind, his words, and his very self in the service of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Rantideva was so exalted that he would sometimes give away his own food in charity, and he and his family will fast. Once, after Rantideva spent 48 days fasting, not even drinking water, excellent food made with ghee was brought to him. But when he was about to eat, a Brahmana guest appeared. Rantideva therefore did not eat the food, but instead immediately offered a portion of it to the Brahmana. When the Brahmana left, and Rantideva was just about to eat the remnants of the food, a Sudra appeared. Rantideva therefore divided the remnants between the Sudra and himself. Again, when he was just about to eat the remnants of the food, another guest appeared. Rantideva therefore gave the rest of the food to the new guest and was about to content himself with drinking the water to quench his thirst. But this was also precluded, for a 30 guest came and Rantideva gave him the water. This was all ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to glorify his devotee and show how tolerant a devotee is in rendering service to the Lord. The Supreme Personality of God had been extremely pleased with Rantideva and trusted him with very confidential service. the special power to render the most confidential services entrusted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to a pure devotee, not to ordinary devotees. Garga, the son of Bharadwaj, had a son named Sini, and Sini's son was Gargia. Although Gargia was a Kshatriya by birth, his sons became Brahmanas. The sons of Mahavirya was Duritakshaya, whose sons were Triyajaruni, Kavi, and Pushkararuni. Although these three sons were born of a Kshatriya king, they also achieved the position of Brahmanas. The son of Brihakshatra constructed the city of Hastinapura and was known as Hasti. His sons were Ajamidha, Dhrumidha, and Purumidha. From Ajamidha came Priyamedha and other Brahmanas, and also a son named Brihadishu. The sons, grandsons, and further descendants of Brihadishu were Brihadanu, Brihatkaya, Jayadratha, Bishada, Sienajit. From Sienajit came four sons, Ruchirashva, Dhridahanu, Kashya, and Datsa. From Ruchirashva came a son named Para, whose sons were Pritushena and Nipa. And from Nipa came 100 sons. Another son of Nipa was Brahmadatta. And from Brahmadatta came Vishwakshena, from Vishwakshena, Udakshena, and from Udakshena, Balata. The sons of Dhrumidha was Javinara, and from Javinara came many sons and grandsons, such as Kritiman, Satyadriti, Dridanemi, Suparshwa, Sumati, Sannatiman, Kriti, Nipa, Ugrajudha, Shemya, Subira, Ripunjaya, and Baharatha. Purumidha has no sons, but Ajamidha, in addition to his other sons, had a son named Nila, whose sons was Shanti. The descendants of Shanti were Sushanti, Puruja, Arka, and Dharmyashwa. Dharmyashwa had five sons, one of whom, Mudgala, begot a dynasty of Brahmanas. Mudgala had twins, a son, Divudasha, and a daughter, Ahalya. From Ahalya, by her husband Gautama, Satananda was born. The son of Satananda was Satyadriti, and his son was Saradvan. Saradvan's son was known as Kripa, and Saradvan's daughter, known as Kripi, became the wife of Dronacharya. Text number one. I read the Sanskrit and the translation. Sri Sukha Uvacha Bitatasya Sutam Nanyar Brihat Kshatro Jajastata Mahavirya Naro Garga Sankritistu Narab Majaha. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, because Bharadwaj was delivered by the Marut demigods, he was known as Bitata. The sons of Bitata was Manyu, and from Manyu came five sons, Brihakshatra, Jaya, Mahavirya, Nara, and Garga. Of these five, the one known as Nara had a son named Sankriti. Text number 2. Guruscha ranti devascha sankrite pandunandana ranti devasya mahima ihamudra chagiyate. Translation: O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Pandu, Sankriti had two sons named Guru and Rantideva. Rantideva is famous in both this world and the next, for he is glorified not only in human society but also in the society of the demigods. Text 3-5. Vijat Vitasya Dadato Laptam 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 Bubukshata Miskincha Nasya Dhirasya Shakutum Vasya Siddhata Vidyati Jor Asta Chavarim Sat Ahanyapi Bataki Ahanyapi Batakila Ahani Apibat. I don't know how to do it. Ahimya pabita kila gritataja sasam javam tojam pratar upashtitam chikricha prapta kutumbasya shutribyam jatabe pato atitir brahmana kale boktukamasya chagamat. Translation: Rantideva never endeavored to earn anything. He will enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of providence. But when guests came, he will give them everything. Thus, he underwent considerable suffering along with the members of his family. Indeed, he and his family members shiver for want of food and water, yet Rantideva always remains sober. Once, after fasting for 48 days, in the morning Rantideva receives some water and some foodstuffs made of milk and ghee. But when he and his family were about to eat, a Brahmana guest arrived. Text number 6, we chant together. Tasmai Sambhyam Bhajat Soanam Adritya Sradajambita Harim Sarvatra Sampasham Sabukta Prajajo Dvija Tasmai Sambhya Bhajat Sonam Adritya Sradajambita Harim Sarvatra Sampasham Sabukta Prajajo Dvija Tasmai Sambhyat Pajasamnam Adritya Sradajam Vita Harim Sarvatra Sampasham Sabukta Prajajo Dvija Dvija. Please chant. Tasmai unto him, the Brahmana, Sambhyabhajat, after dividing, gave his chair, Saha, he, Vantideva, Annam, the food, Adritya, with great respect, Shraddhaya Anbitaha, and with faith, Harim, the Supreme Lord, Sarvatra, everywhere, or in the heart of every living being, Sampasham, conceiving, Saha, he, Bhukta, after eating the food, Prajayao, left the palace, Dvijaha, the Brahmana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Because Vantideva perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the gifts with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmana guest ate his chair and then went away. Purport. Vantideva perceived the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living being, but he never thought that because the Supreme Lord is present in every living being must be God. Nor he distinguished between one living being and another. He perceived the presence of the Lord both in the Brahmanas and in the Chandala. This is the true vision of equality, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 5:18. Vidyabhinajasampanne brahmane gabhihastini sunichaiva svapakrecha pandita shamadarshina. Quote, the humble sage by virtue of true knowledge sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. End of quote. A pandita, or learned person, perceives the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living being. Therefore, although it have now become fashionable to give preference to the so-called Daridra Narajan, or, quote, Poor Narajana, Vantideva had no reason to give preference to any one person. The idea that because Narayan is present in the heart of one who is Daridra or poor, the poor man should be called Daridra Narayan is a wrong conception. By such logic, because the Lord is present within the heart of the dogs and hogs will also be Narayan. One should not mistakenly think that Vantideva subscribed to this view. Rather, he saw everyone as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari Sambhandibashtuna. It is not that everyone is the Supreme Godhead. Such a theory, which is propounded by the Mayavadi philosophy, is always misleading and Rantideva would never have accepted it. Om Agyana Timrandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Uttara Srimate Ramapada Swami Vyandi. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Uttara Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Adesatani. Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So the story of King Rantideva is started to be narrated, which is one of beautiful examples of the Raja Rishi, a saintly king, a perfect devotee who is showing how to be a perfect administrator or the perfect king. Also tell us about the quality or the type of qualities that are required, the type of realization that is required to actually have true compassion. There are two kings in the narration of the Bhagavatam that highlight this this quality of compassion to a superlative quantity. One is King Rantideva, the other one is King Nimi, who were ready to sacrifice and to take any amount of suffering or any amount of sacrifice to actually protect and provide for anyone, any of their citizens. So I'm tempted to actually narrate the passing of King Rantideva, but we're going to hear verse after verse, so it's going to unfold, which is, you know, very beautiful. And Prabhupada gave a synopsis of the, you know, skipping some of the details, which are quite fascinating. But, and in terms of Maharaj Nimi, who also showed this quality of compassion, we hear in the 11th canto how Maharaj Nimi basically sacrificed his own body to protect a pigeon who was pursued by a hawk. And so the pigeon is a natural food for the hawk. So the hawk was in chase of this pigeon, and the pigeon came and took shelter of Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi is from the Sun Dynasty, is a descendant of Ishwaku, but he was famous for this, especially this pastime is in the Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Nimi immediately gave shelter and protection to this pigeon and stop the hawk that this pigeon have taken shelter of me, so he is to be protected, so please go away. And the hawk said, but I'm also your praja, I'm also your citizen, and this pigeon has been allocated as my natural food. So what am I supposed to do? I want some justice. Maharaj Nini said, very well. So he put the pigeon in a scale, and then I will provide the flesh from my own body that equals the weight of the pigeon. So he started to do that. And at the end, it was simply a test. The pigeon and the hawk were demigods in disguise to actually show the type of character that Maharaj Nimi had. This story is very similar. So we're going to see that Prabhupada explained that at the end, the demigods, under Krishna's direction, were creating all the situation in order to glorify the character of Maharaj Rantideva. So it's a very beautiful story. And how to have this true quality of compassion, and how to understand it, because in one sense, it's not a simple thing. It's rare, and how to do it in a way that is not extreme or not, you know, that is balanced, that is real in one sense. That is real. So the highlight, there's two things that are highlighted in the narration of the Bhagavatam and in Srila Prabhupada's purport. That one is that Maharaj Rantideva was able to see and perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart of all living entities. And seeing like this, then he was able to see with equal vision. But also, he have the understanding that there's a difference between the living entity and the super soul. So, it's not that he thought that because God is in the heart of all living entities, it means that all living entities are God. But he had the proper conception, and so he was able to see with equal vision. So the famous Bhagavad Gita verse, which is from that painting that is there, the second painting next to Lorna Sringadev, that the pandita or the learned person will have this shama darshana, or see with equal vision, that he's able to see, he doesn't discriminate between a brahmana or a chandala or a sudra or even, you know, a cow or a dog. He sees the personality of God within that heart, and he's able to see with equality. And the other one that he has, the other quality that he has, is that he perfectly understood Krishna to be his protector and his maintainer. So he didn't have anxiety about trying to make an arrangement for his own well-being, because he knew that Krishna will always protect and will provide and will maintain. So these two things were perfectly established in the character and consciousness of Maharaj Rantideva. So then he could act with real compassion. Now, put this real compassion that he shows, as is narrated here, that he basically not only sacrificed himself, he starved himself to death in order to satisfy others. But not only himself, but also his family. the royal family. And he was a king. So it seems that it's a little too extreme. Actually, no, quite extreme. I mean, what a social worker in modern days would think of such a person that will starve his family to death in order to give charity to someone else. It may not seem, you know, quite acceptable. And but the fact is that the reason is not a simple thing to understand, that is rare, is because as long as we have some bodily conception, then these true manifestations of compassions cannot be there. This position of being able to see equally and to be able to deal with others equally, it becomes, you know, very, very difficult, basically. We can cultivate and we follow those who are panditas, those who are samadarshinas, under their guidance, under, you know, the expressions of compassion, we can serve and assist, and in that way, we can start to absorb those qualities, the quality of compassion. However, to be able to come to the position of true compassion, we have to become Krishna conscious. So, there's a very nice pastime that is narrated in the sixth canto of the sons of King Prachinivari, the Prachetas, that they were given a lesson by Soma, the demigod of, we heard about yesterday, the moon god, and we're talking right now about the dynasty of the moon, in which he gave, the moon god gave to bring the Prachetas to to sever them. He gave this instruction that it was, you know, very important. The pastime goes like this, and then the instruction, it tells us about what a perfect king or a ruler, what kind of understanding must have. So Queen Prachinivari sent his 10 sons, the Prachetas, to perform austerities in order to prepare them to become the rulers of the world. And they performed austerities under the direction, the guidance of Lord Shiva. And actually Narada Muni and Lord Shiva. And when they came out of their 1,000 years of austerities, they came out into an earth that was, because it was no ruler, then it has been overgrown by vegetation. So there was no space for good, you know, farming land. So in order, they immediately feeling compassion for the citizens, they starting to burn all the trees of the world. So it was, you know, a very extreme thing, you know, okay, there's a problem, then, you know, the human, you know, the citizens, the humans, they were having this problem. I'm recognizing myself with this problem, with the problem of those who are like me, and I'm going to burn all the trees. So by their mystic powers, they started to fire and winds coming from their mouth, and they started to burn all the trees. But Soma was a demigod that is in charge of trees and vegetation, came and told them to please stop. They're also your subjects, and they should be given protection. So sometimes we can be extreme. We like in general condition, a symptom of conditional bodily conception means that we like black and white. Is this way? You know, therefore, we're in the world of dualities, and our consciousness is affected by dualities. So we see this way, we see that way. Black and white are different. So we tend to recognize with this way, we tend to recognize with this way, or go into a pendulum, like sometimes this way, sometimes this way, you know, when things don't work. But the recommendation that is given is that we have to have a balanced approach to things. That is not this way, that is not this way, but you know, we have to come to a balanced approach. And that balanced approach in which we can actually, that balanced approach is a position of Krishna consciousness. So, to be able to see equally and to act like that means the proper approach to everything. When it's not like that, we're simply trying to solve problems and create more problems. When, you know, we don't have that balanced approach, a Krishna conscious approach to things. One problem creates another problem. So, Soma told the Prachetas, as the father and mother are friends and maintainers of their children, as the eyelid is the protector of the eye, as the husband is the maintainer and protector of a woman, as the householder is the maintainer and protector of beggars, and as the learned is the friend of the ignorant, so the king is the protector and giver of life to all his subjects. The trees are also subjects of the king, therefore they should be given protection. So the natural position is, especially of those who are rulers, is to see with equal vision, is to be able to see. But you cannot do that if you're not Krishna consciousness. We cannot do that. Even in our society of devotees, as we grow more, and our Krishna consciousness mature individually and collectively, then we can come to the position of basically taking the world or take care of the world. Srila Prabhupada says that if we are in that position, more or less paraphrasing, that Krishna can give us the world in 18 days if we're ready. So what is that we have to be ready for? We have to come to that position. We have to come to the position of being able to protect and to give life, the giver of life. We have to be able to see like that. And it will be natural. It will be a natural thing. It won't be something that you have to calculate or you have to prepare yourself. will be something natural, like these examples that Soma gave to the Prachetas. A mother and a father doesn't have to sort of make plans of how to nourish the child when they're real mothers and fathers. It's natural, it comes natural. By love, it comes natural. Or say the eyelid is a much more graphic example. It's not that we sit down, you know, and say, okay, my eye is feeling a little dry. I'm thinking I'm going to, in a matter of a second, close my eyelid, you know, 28 times. So if I do 28 times opening my eyelids and closing, then I will protect my eye. No, it will happen automatically. We don't have to sing. It's something that happens naturally because it's the natural function of the eyelid. We don't have to make calculations. So similarly, that position will happen naturally. Compassion will happen naturally. It's not something that we have to make an effort to. If we're not in that position, then it means that we're still dealing with, or we still have to grow with, overcome the tendency that we have to recognize ourselves with those who are like me. To discriminate. So while saying this, I just thought that I didn't prepare a lot, so as I say this, it came to me that okay, how about the Madhyama Adhikaris that have to do, or the preachers, they have to discriminate between someone who is innocent, someone who is a devotee, and someone who is a demoniac. You know, we're not seen equally there. So, interesting question. I don't know if I want to dive on that one. But the point that I like to make in this presentation, at least, is this quality of actually pursuing and cultivating and seeing the quality that we have to achieve to actually being able to manifest true compassion towards others, which is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's about basically putting oneself, regardless of the discomfort that we have to take, for the benefit of others. Maharaj Shantideva is such a beautiful example, because one of the things at the end of this pastime, when the Chandala came to ask for the last remnants, you know, water, after fasting for 48 days, he was so emaciated that he was basically, you know, in order to maintain his life, he needed to break. So he gave the water to the Chandala, and he made this prayer to the Lord that, you know, he doesn't want, just like Prahlad Maharaj, just like Vasudev Datta, like Jesus Christ, he doesn't want to see the suffering in others. I take that suffering as long as, you know, those who are under his shelter are fully maintained. And by that sacrifice, all his thirst, anxieties, hunger, and this and that should dissipate. So he prays to the personality of Godhead to give him that position in which he can sacrifice himself for the benefit of others. So that is the essence of a Vaishnava, of, you know, the devotee under Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, that we take for the benefit of the world, we can sacrifice ourselves, but to be able to do that truly, we need to have this, we need to actually get these qualities of understanding that Krishna is our protector, and that as Krishna being present in the heart of all living entities, we can actually deal with all living entities with the same respect and devotion, understanding that we can see them equally without making distinctions. Anyway, such a beautiful thing, deep, we have put more time to, you know, make a more complete discussion on it. Comments or questions?
Actually, we were discussing yesterday with you, like personally we were discussing about the Bharat Maharaj. You know, in chapter, you know, Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 7th chapter and 2 number verse, there was a description of Bharat Maharaj's son.
Who?
Bharat Maharaj. So, day before yesterday, we were discussing about he has no son, that's why he was looking for our son. So Maruta, you know, hand over that son to Bharat Maharaj, right? So which Bharat Maharaj we are, discussing about which Bharat Maharaj? Because in 5th canto there is Bharat Maharaj, he has 5 sons, right? So now in 9th chapter there is another Bharat Maharaj who has no son. So I'm a little confused.
To see the one in the fifth in the fifth canto, that is.
One Bharat Maharaj, he is the son of the Rishabdev, who is the Lord himself. Rishabdev is a
Rishabdev.
Yeah, Rishabdev.
Okay.
And now another Bharat Maharaj here.
Yes, so maybe it's right. Different Bharat
Maharaj. So that Bharat Maharaj is not that because he has already 5 sons. So there is no need to, you know, looking for a son. So he was disappointing the son, you know. So here is another Bharat Maharaj. So I'm a little confused.
And there's also Bharat, the brother of Lord Ramachandra.
Yeah, so...
I'm not sure. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure. I don't want to answer. Maybe someone else... You know? No? Yeah, I'm not fully sure of that Bharat Maharaj.
Because on that chapter Prabhupada explained very nicely that Bharat Maharaj is controlling a whole, you know, Bharat Varsha. So there is all the description, his son, you know, everyone, and his father is Rishabdev. So now again in 9th chapter, here is Bharat Maharaj.
Yeah, for sure, if he's the son of Rishabdev, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Because he is Bharat Maharaj, is the son of Dushyamanta, who was the son of Puru.
Sorry. That no. Bharat Maharaj is Rishabdev's son, but this Bharat is not a Dushmanta's son. Dushmanta left that queen and then and the Bharatdwaj came. Because Dushmanta's and Brihaspati, right?
No, this is different. No, Bharat was a son, the one between and what's his name, Brihaspati, that was Bharadwaj, who became, you know, he became later, it was given to him as a son by the Maruts. But Bharat was the descendant of, that comes from the dynasty of Puru. So he came in that line.
Even that Bharat Maharaj was in the same dynasty? Because Prabhupada explained in Gita, Bharatar Sabha, Lord says, you are Bharat dynasty, your dynasty were Bharat. So which Bharat?
Then I don't know. I have to look. we can take off the off that one.
Sorry.
If you know, please.
Actually, I'm asking, in 5th canto, there is, in 7th chapter, there is Bharat Maharaj's story is coming. He has 5 sons, right? So, I think I have. I'll tell you the name. Bharat Maharaj create son. Bharat Maharaj create 5 sons in the womb of Panchajani, his wife. These sons were named Sumati, Rashtra, Brita, Sudarshana, and Avarana, and then Dhumraketu. So 5 sons is there. So another Bharat Maharaj's name is coming in 9th. Canto. There is in that topic saying there's that Bharat Maharaj has no son. That's why Maruta delivered that son to him because he was looking for a son. Right. So I'm confused. Which Bharat Maharaj we are?
Yeah, son. You're right. Is you're right.
Yes, Bharat Maharaj is different from that. Because this Maharaj, that in 5th canto, what you are saying, that is different. That Sumati is different, that his wife, you know. And this Shakuntala and this other is different. Like we have seen several places, same name is repeated, different things. Like, so that dynasty is different from this dynasty. And that I can give you picture tomorrow. I have that all family diagnosed.
Actually, it's a good point that you bring, because I see now, because it looks like this Bharat, there's that Bharat of the 5th canto is the one who falls down as a deer, and then is the one that then becomes Jat Bharat, and this Bharat, I thought it was the same Bharat, but it looks like it's a different Bharat. So there is no such a, there's no narration. Yeah, so it is different. So I thought that this is the Bharat that going to become Jada Bharat, but it doesn't look like it. Looks like it's different. It's just a different Bharat. I mean, I'm sure there's a Taraknath, many Taraknaths somewhere in this and that in his, you know.
But in this chapter,
give him the microphone. Microphone? Where's the microphone?
Yeah, in 9th canto, Bharat is coming again, name of the Bharat, but this Bharat has no description, that's why I'm confused.
It's a different Bharat, most likely. It's just simple. Acharya Nishtha? No? Anyone else? The Mata, are you there?
Thank you for the class.
Can you speak closer to the microphone?
Thank you for the class. I was just wondering that everybody acts according to their to the qualities endowed by birth. So like some have demonic and some have divine qualities. So even the quality of compassion is going to be instigated by the qualities they have been endowed with. So in a particular
qualities that are what?
Endowed with.
Okay.
So in a particular situation, how we react will be based upon maybe how we have been treated, or like conditionally according to our circumstances, or because of the qualities that we have been endowed with. Then what is the use of preaching and because ultimately we will act according to the tendencies that we were endowed with. That was my question. So even with compassion, that will be like somebody who is not very divine will act according to his nature, because like even in Bhagavad Gita, I think Krishna says that repression will not accomplish anything, because we will all act according to our basic nature.
So the question is, what would be the, if one is affected by one's condition, and in this particular case of compassion, if one tried to act in compassion but is still being affected by one's state of consciousness on this and that, then, you know, would it be a right from someone to actually preach with that type of limitation? Is that more or less understanding?
But I think in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that repression does not accomplish anything. Like the nature within will manifest itself sooner or later. And so like people who are born with divine qualities will exhibit those qualities, and demonic qualities will exhibit those qualities. So like preaching to somebody or like trying to change the basic nature, can we do it by preaching? Because like somebody, like how we react in a particular situation, whether we react with compassion or not, will depend upon whether we have those qualities inside us or not. So, and also because of our basic conditioning, how we have been treated in this particular life, we will react accordingly. So, so preaching, can it make a big difference in somebody's outlook, like in qualities of like compassion, like?
Yeah.
That was my question.
Well, we can take it as a fact that when preaching, or when actually trying to help someone or help any situation with our conditions, material conditions, material consciousness, or whatever level of material consciousness in general, is not going to fully address the problem. In one sense, you know, we see that when things are done from the perspective of some material condition, we're always trying to solve a problem, create so many other problems. So it's the predicament of this world, basically, that we're trying in an independent way, out of, you know, our condition that can manifest in different ways, with a color, by pride, by loss, by anger, by this, by that, you know, these different things that are inbuilt in the material condition, in the false ego, then we just create problems, more problems. We solve this one, we create another problem. So what's the solution? The solution that is given to us is that we approach someone who has the proper understanding. In the words of the Bhagavad Gita, it's called, we approach someone who is a tattva darshana, or a seer of the truth. So we're able to learn, and we're able to buy the guidance of such persons. We're also not only able to be an instrument of compassion, because the instrument is not necessarily have the consciousness of compassion, but the instrument is used by someone who have who have compassion. So by the association with someone who have true compassion, by assisting and serving someone who have true compassion, and by learning from someone who have true compassion, then we start to become purified and absorb those things. So it's a proper way of doing things, is what the scriptures lead us to, that we have to associate and connect and being under such devotees and such personalities. Otherwise, most likely there's just some mess things up. So, more or less like that. I'd like to stop now. Thank you so much. Karantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.